So hi, my name's Bob Somerville. I'm the Executive Director of the Ethereum Classic Cooperative. I've been in that position since January. I previously worked at the Foundation, at Consensus, on the Enterprise Ethereum Alliance, where I worked for the setup of that, and then I was the co-lead architect during that setup, and then I was the Secretary of the Technical Working Group and the Vice Chair of the TSC, and I've done stuff in Hyperledger as well, and now I find myself in Classic. So I'll just say a little bit about what's been happening. We really have a resurgence within Classic right now, where after several years of fairly inactive kind of status, we've got forward movement again. You know, you had the split at the DAO fork. There was the monetary policy change and disabling of the bomb, and then that was about what had happened. But what's changed is really that we have funding now. That with ETC Labs, we have effectively like a Joseph Lubin for Classic. So the way I describe things is very much like things were in Ethereum land in 2015. If you've got a good project idea, you have some money, you have some money, you have some money. So we're moving. And the most recent and big thing that we had was Atlantis. So Atlantis was our first hard fork for quite a long time. And what happened there was that we forked in Byzantium opcodes. So Classic is now not very far behind ETH. So for Atlantis, we had three clients with support. That's Multigeth, which is a downstream of the Foundation Geth. We had Classic Geth, which is a very ancient code base, which was basically forked at the time of the DAO and then cobbled along for a little bit further, but is essentially in deprecation state. So Classic Geth is not going to make it to the next fork. It's going to be a happy retirement for Classic Geth as we clap it into retirement for its service, but its time is over. Parity has had support for both ETC and ETH throughout, so that's not a problem. And those are the three code bases that we've had for Atlantis. The other primary code base that there is on Classic is Mantis, which is from IOHK. Now, at the time that Classic started, Charles Hoskinson returned into the Classic side and said that as an Ethereum founder, he helped. You know, he felt a responsibility to support the original vision. That he felt that that really he should get involved and help out. So he hired a community manager. And he funded Let's Talk ETC podcast as well. And also Kevin Lord has done social media and sort of outreach bits and pieces as well. But they spent 2 years building a new code base in Scala, which is one of the tersest Ethereum clients that there is, and apparently is also the lowest memory footprint and highest performance. But nobody is really aware of it within the broader Ethereum ecosystem because it's been a Classic-only client. So nobody knows about it. Work started on that code base to add ETH support as well, but that team essentially got sort of defunded and slowed down and stopped as of December of last year, really with Charles refocusing his efforts on Cardano. and really sort of half exiting the classic ecosystem because of continual infighting and really feeling that he couldn't do the interesting things within Classic that he wanted to. You know, he sort of said, if Classic is just the Litecoin of Ethereum, who wants to do that? Anyway, we recently had the Ethereum Classic Summit in Vancouver, my hometown of Vancouver, and Charles, close to the end, only a few weeks to come, finally agreed that he would come and speak. So Charles had the closing keynote, and through the conference, we basically like romanced him back in, I charmed him back in, and really what's going to happen there is that you know, that code base is going to be revived. So as we go into our forthcoming hard forks, Mantis should be added into the set of clients there. So Classic Geth will be retired, and you will have Geth, and you will have Parity, and you will have Mantis coming in as well. But not just that, you will also have Hyperledger Bizu. Now, you may have heard of Bizu. So Bizu was previously called Pantheon. And where that code base has come from is when I was involved with setting up the Enterprise Ethereum Alliance, myself and Shahan were the co-lead architects. And we did the tech talk at the launch event, at which I said, so Shahan is the distributed systems PhD, and I'm the cheerleader. So he basically then has spent the last 2 years back inside Consensus building a new code base from scratch. So that is permissively licensed. It's Apache 2. It is written in Java. And it is Ethereum mainnet compatible. Also supports Clique. Also supports Istanbul BFT, also supports privacy features, and is also compliant with the EEA specification. So it's really like, it's all of the stuff. It's all of the good stuff. And it's really something that we've been striving for, I think, for about 3 years, is to get to, you know, a very high quality code base in a language which is, you know, broadly used under that kind of licensing and governance within the Linux Foundation, which basically lets large enterprises come and engage. Because I think really what you want to have with Ethereum clients is something like, you know, Linux kernel kind of model. That, you know, you start out, well, hey, here's a project just for fun, but then things get serious and basically enterprises start depending on that stuff and they start picking up the load. You know, so you see the Linux kernel, you know, the major contributors are, you know, they're big companies that have a need for that. Because really what you want is you want these big companies to be doing, you know, carrying the engineering load. You know, you can't have the Geth team with 4 or 5 people carrying the weight of the world on their back forever. Like, that just isn't going to work. You need large professional teams, and that's really what started with Pantheon. So what the Classic Cooperative is doing is we are funding ETC support in Bizu. And it's the very first thing that's happening within that code being within Hyperledger. So very soon what you will have is a client which can run Ethereum mainnet, ETC mainnet, Coty, Gauli, or any of these private scenarios. So Chainsafe are doing the work, who did the work on Classic to get that working for Atlantis. Now, to work on Hyperledger code bases, you don't have to be a Hyperledger member. Anyone can work on those. But we love Hyperledger, so we joined Hyperledger as well. We're applying to. So Hyperledger, for anyone that doesn't know, is a collaboration project within the Linux Foundation, which is an umbrella for a set of open source blockchain technologies. So Hyperledger Fabric is the one that you hear about all the time, that originally came from IBM. the Sawtooth that originally came from Intel. You have Burrow, which is an EVM, but not mainnet compatible, that was done by Monax. You have Iroha, and you also have Hyperledger Indy, which is an identity piece. The other thing that we've done is applied to join the Enterprise Ethereum Alliance. And, well, why would we do that? Well, the fact is that you've seen announced here at this conference the Mainnet Initiative, where the Ethereum Foundation and the EEA are basically working together on speccing out use cases and protocol definitions for use of the mainnet for enterprise scenarios. So really, the specification work that you've had happening within the EEA has primarily been about private or consortium chains. When we started the EEA, the vision was that the mainnet and basically private and public, these things would converge. And that's where we're getting to right now. And what you'll see really with Classic being involved as well is that the specifications, really like the yellow paper, if you look at the yellow paper assumes that you have one network in the world. You know, everything is F mainnet. Hard-coded block numbers in the specification. And I mean, that is not the way to do a specification of a technology stack of a protocol. You should really have a modular setup that's like, here is what an Ethereum stack looks like. Appendix A, here is the definition of an ETH mainnet. Here's the definition of an ETC mainnet. Here's the definition of a private chain running a proof of authority. So we're going to help with that. Another thing that we've done recently is revived the old website. We had a maintenance issue. One of the first things that my predecessor at the co-op, Anthony Lusardi, did was commission a spanky new WordPress website. But the problem with that is WordPress websites, only your admin can update it. So we didn't really have a good means for the community to contribute changes back in. The earlier website that we had was based on GitHub, and you could just do pull requests, but it didn't look great. So what we've done over the last little while is basically revived that old website, but made it look nicer and updated the content. And the guy who originally did the web design on that has just reappeared. He actually attended the summit because he sees everything happening in Classic and is like, oh, this is quite interesting. I'm coming back. So he can come back and help with the website because he did it originally. The other problem that we've had is problems of east-west communication. Specifically, our Chinese community and other Asian communities have been very disconnected with the West. And for China specifically, a primary reason for that is the Great Firewall. So if you are in mainland China, you can't access Twitter, you can't access Discord, you can't access GitHub. And specifically, the communication channels are a major problem, because the Discord and the Twitter, that's where all of the communication happens. So what I've done is, well, what's the answer? Well, you use WeChat. You can use WeChat anywhere in the world. So we now have ETC Global Comms channel, which is just an open WeChat channel where we've gathered all of the community people from all of the sides, and myself and Yaz. And all of a sudden, these communication gaps, barring time zones, they're done. Everyone is very communicative if you can communicate. So we're doing that. The other thing that we're going to do is, on that main website, we are adding internationalization. Because we also had this siloing thing of the ethereumclassic.org was English only. And then other communities have built their own websites. But then, they're having to replicate, well, here's a tutorial about how you write a smart contract and what is Classic and so on. But by having that language support within that base website, most countries, maybe that's enough, that you just point to ethereumclassic.org and do the drop-down. you know, like normal websites, like professional people can do, but somehow we had not done. So we're going to do that. And I mean, that's not to say, well, you have to only use the official website. Obviously, anyone can do whatever they like on their own and add their own pieces, but we should have that basic information available to everyone. And one of the other things that we can have in there is blog posts. So this site allows you to use simple Markdown for blog posts. We have been using Medium. Medium, again, blocked by the firewall. So the flow that we will have instead is blog posts happening on that website that's accessible anywhere in the world, probably in English first, and then if you are flipping to one of the other language choices, well, you're going to get it in English if there isn't a translation. If there is, you're going to get it in your own language. So that's a pattern which is not only breaching, you know, bridging East and West, it's also bridging other communities, Italian, German, French, you know, lots of these country-specific ones that they're not necessarily developers, you know, that they are enthusiasts who can probably do a translation, but, you know, they're essentially receiving information. You know, they're not necessarily ever going to be doing protocol changes or changes to clients, but open that stuff up. The other piece that we have is that the Classic has signed a contract with Messari. So Messari provide basically high quality financial information on particular coins. And they're also showing developer activity, you know, where your repositories are, you know, what your transaction rates are, and a lot of information about how the governance works, what legal entities are involved, how decisions are made, what the issuance is, and so on. There hasn't been high quality information on Classic. And something as simple as the fact that we've had sort of messed up repositories and things have been pointing at Ethereum project where actually the work is happening in Ethereum Classic or in another area, you get this false data saying, hey, there's no developer activity, there's no commits have happened, and that's just wrong. But really having that public disclosure is something that's very important to me. I've been maintaining this conflict of interests statement myself for 2 years now, where I list essentially all of my financial arrangements, all of my associations, all of my historical salaries, my crypto holdings, my tax filings, everything. Because I think that in a sea of scammers, you distinguish yourself by being transparent. So that's what we've been up to. We've got pending changes. You know, we're basically, I think, going to fast follow Istanbul. So within a few months, ETC is going to be caught up. And, you know, moving between chains is going to be very trivial. And beyond catching up, we're actually going to have, you know, a few further changes. So amazingly, perhaps ETC is actually going to be objectively better than F1 within a few months, which I think is going to blow people's minds. Gas prices will be lower. The bloat will not be there. The irregular state transaction will not be there. State channels work. There's no need to bloat the L1 because we've got working state channels now. So I think in a few months' time, we're going to be in a really great place, and people are going to be very surprised to say, even if you don't have any ideological alignment, it's just maybe a better deployment choice. Okay, and there's my time up. Has anyone got any quick questions? Yep, so Messari will have that information. Generally speaking, I believe we've got a reasonable amount of transactions, but they're primarily value transfers. There is a dApp ecosystem, but it's weak. And that really is because these foundational things have been missing. You know, when we're at that point of having those foundations, I think we are going to get an awful lot of dApp developers supporting both, moving over, really because it's easy to do so, and it's going to be sort of cheaper and better. There's lots of things that have been doing to help that onboarding, some of which Terry announced earlier, like Gitcoin, Swarm support. With MetaMask, I think we can get MetaMask really very soon with some of the changes that they announced. So I think we can have a Moloch DAO for funding, a whole range of things which, you know, really should be, the story should be all of the tools that you love on Ethereum. Same deal on Classic. So 51% attacks are possible on any chain. That's the nature of proof of work. Something, though, that I think maybe people don't kind of clock is that 51% attacks are not necessarily disastrous to the network. They attack single participants who have poor trust models, specifically usually exchanges. You know, an exchange who has received stuff and you know, released things without waiting a suitable amount of confirmations. If you have less hash power, well, you really need to wait for a lot more confirms before proceeding. I mean, that's the sort of stuff that only really generally affects, you know, large value transfers. If you're just doing little state changes of, you know, dappy stuff, you know, just don't wait a lot of confirms anyway. I mean, I guess it's like, well, you know, a bus pass or whatever, it is money. It's not hard money, but that's fine. You know, not everything has to be rock hard money. So I think, you know, the answer is that you are going to have that security at the bottom layer, and you get less and less as you go higher up. And really the thing that is going to get that security is having more hash power, and that will happen as the developers come over. As more and more activity is happening, that attracts the hash, that gets you the security. And there is no other answer than that, really, for POW. That's the nature of it. So we have to get the activity. When we get the activity, we'll get the hash, and we'll get the security. Thank you.